May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Having completed my tax return this week, today's gospel reading has immaculate timing. I have no problems paying tax due to it all contributes to social cohesion, helping to support the weak and the poor, if you like. It really does sound very biblical when you put it like that. Benjamin Franklin came up with a phrase that I'm sure we all know. In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. And we all know that a tax of some sort is behind most of the things that we do. If you buy something, for instance, there's VAT. Taxes have been notoriously unpopular throughout history. Each generation has had different ones that were just as unpopular as those in Jesus' day. Just to see how things are, I did an internet search to see what is currently being said about tax. I got to page 8 before the first positive thing was found, and that was to say about society. But just so that we know that there's been some very varied taxes throughout time, here's some strange taxes to conjure with. During the first century, the Roman Emperor Vespasian placed a tax on urine. Yes, you did hear that correctly. The buyer or buyers of the urine paid the tax because it was so valuable for the use in tanning. And maybe here's one for certain teenagers. During the Middle Ages, the European governments put tax on soap. It remained in effect for a very long time. In fact, Great Britain didn't repeal its soap tax until 1835. Being that sort of person, Oliver Cromwell placed a tax on royalists, taking 1/10 of their property. He then used that money against the royalists. So asking about paying taxes to Caesar is bound to have raised hackles. But first, some background about the players in the story, the Herodians and the Pharisees. The Herodians, as their name suggests, represent the Herodian dynasty and its cutthroat representation of Rome in Israel. The Pharisees didn't accept the Roman occupation. They expressed their opposition by withdrawing from society into ritual purity. So putting those two together is strange. They're odd bedfellows, if you like, and just to discredit Jesus. Just like trying to make oil and water mix, the two just don't go together. Perhaps you might call them fire and water, day and night, or perhaps chalk and cheese. But whatever metaphor, they're opposites. But why would they do this? Well, Jesus was, and indeed still is, a challenge. He's a revolutionary. They might even call him a pain and a prophet. Which begs the question, do we see him like that? But tax was a very sore point in those days. So the Herodians and the Pharisees were also playing to the crowd. You see, tax for everyone was around 49 to 50%. Tax to Caesar was bad, but so was tax to the temple, where there were exchange rates to temple money, which were strictly controlled. And there is an interesting further dynamic. The coin that is part of the story, the denarius, had the following inscription on it. Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus. That's what it said on one side. And on the other side it said Pontifex Maximus, which translates as high priest. So think of it this way. The fact that the people who approached Jesus to try and trap him, even having such a coin, says that they were already complicit with the Romans. It is as if Jesus is holding up a mirror to them, but they fail to see. But hopefully we do. Jesus' answer and the quintessential point of this story is about a separation between state and God. And in our minds, is there a separation between tax, work, the state, and God? Think of it this way, all authority comes from God. So Jesus is saying that God should have authority over all parts of life, not just the ones that people choose. Or to put it another way, if you'd prefer another metaphor, you can't be slightly pregnant. But what should we give to God that is God's? Well, in baptism, we start on a lifetime's journey that moves us towards God. So giving our life is a good start. And that is unique to us, with all that we are. If you prefer, what we should do is we should give love. Love God, love our neighbours. It's what we commit to in baptism and our creeds. And it's much harder to do than say, as we all know. The truth Jesus is expounding is the kingdom of heaven operates in this earthly sphere, but is not bounded by it. Perhaps we should always think and hope bigger because of this. And yes, there will always be taxes. In 1705, the Russian Emperor Peter the Great put a tax on beards, hoping to force men to adopt the clean-shaven look that was common in Western Europe. In 1712, so just 7 years later, England imposed a tax on printed wallpaper. Builders avoided the tax by hanging plain wallpaper and then painting patterns on the wall. We need to be bounded by kingdom values. And that doesn't mean might. It doesn't mean withdrawing from society and pining for God's arrival in glory. It does mean firstly seeking out the lost, the lonely, the unlovely, the broken, as a people of faith. It says no to life being in compartments. Clearly our faith and our work do go together. And we will fulfil our obligations to society by firstly fulfilling our obligations to God. And the fact that we are free to do that is cause for celebration. Amen.